Hallelujah. Take your seats. There are seasons that should be happening that aren't. And when you reach a situation like that, have you ever had a situation like that in your life personally where you know the season you should be in, but it's not coming for one reason or another? It's not happening. You're not breaking through the way that you thought you should or would be breaking through at that particular time. Career-wise, I didn't really think I'd have a career. I thought I would just go from job to job because of my qualifications were busted. And I wanted to be somewhere, but like nothing was happening. Suddenly, when I got with God's program, I knew there's something for me. God's got something for me, but it's not yet here. It's not yet manifested. And my wife said something about this. I was shopping in, do you know Wilko's? Do you know that shop, Wilko's, Wilkinson's? Yeah, it's like kind of what Woolworths used to be when I was a kid. And before that sort of went downhill. And anyway, I was in Wilko's on Friday with my wife. And she was looking at some, you know, I had a shopping basket full of stuff that we were going to go to the checkout with. And she said something. She said, you know, Paolo, she calls me Paolo. She said, you know, Paolo, a lot of people don't know the difference between faith and trust. Because we were talking about Prophet Nana when he came and ministered. And, you know, he said, a lot of the time you have to move from faith to trust. And she said, you know, and I'm carrying this shop in here. And I said, so how would you define, I wanted to hear what she's got to say about the issue. And she said this, and it was so profound, I nearly dropped the shop in right there. She said, faith is about a promise, but trust is about a person. And I thought, wow, that's so deep. I'm standing in Wilko's. I wanted to take up an offering. I mean, that, you know, I'm kidding. But that was like, that was how like bang in your face, because I never thought of it. I would never have described it. Like, it rolled off her tongue like she was talking about, I don't know, the price of bread or something. And I thought, wow, I just stopped. And I said, my love, that is awesome. Like, you know, it's almost like the presence of God just came on me when she said it. It was quite amazing. And but I want to share a bit about that today, because there'll be seasons. I guarantee you that at some time in your life, there's going to be a time where you think you should be somewhere and you're not yet. And it really is what to do in that season, right? Trust is one thing. But often, you see, trust isn't enough. Trust is sometimes not enough to get you through into the next season. And I want to talk to you about that. Now, I want to share with you something that Daniel said when he was in a very, very difficult situation. The king at the time of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, had invaded Israel, captured Jerusalem, and taken the Israelites into captivity in Babylon. Daniel was one of those people that was taken. He was a servant in the temple of God in Jerusalem, according to tradition. And then he was taken as a captive to Babylon, ended up in the king's service. And if you're in the king's service back then, you had certain duties, and one of them was to be engaged in interpreting dreams and visions. Nebuchadnezzar had this very terrifying dream, and he wanted it interpreted. But he was so fed up of his magicians that, because what would usually say, he'd say, I had a dream. And then he would describe the dream, and all these stupid magicians would come out and say, oh, yeah, well, that means this, and then this means that. And, you know, these rose petals that you saw were your kingdom, and they fell on you like snow. And he's fed up of this. He said, I really want to hear from heaven. I know there's a God in heaven, and I really want to hear from God. And so he says, this is what we're going to do this time. I'm not going to tell you the dream I had. But you have to tell me, number one, what I dreamt, and number two, its interpretation. Now, that's when you know you've got to hear from heaven. And Daniel went away because he said that Nebuchadnezzar said, he said, what I'm going to do, if you don't tell me the dream and the interpretation, I'm going to kill all of you. I'm going to wipe the slate clean with you lot of magicians. I'm going to start again. How many of you know that would get on your knees? Right. So anyway, this is what happens. In Daniel chapter 2, verse number 19, it says this. It says, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. And it is he who changes the times and the sea, or the epochs. The word epoch there means season. When you have an epoch in your life, it's like a change of a season. Wow, I went from this to this, etc., right? Now, in the Greek, those two words, the Greek word for time is chronos. So if you've got a nice-looking watch, hallelujah to Jesus, if you've got a nice-looking watch, it will say on it, it will say that it's a chronograph because of chronos, the Greek word for time, right? The Greek word for season is kairos. So times and seasons in the realm of the spirit are two different things. There can be, for instance, right, the time now, what is it? It's Sunday the 5th of May at 4 minutes past 10, right? That's the time. The season, if you step outside, is winter. It should be spring by now. Right? And sometimes that's what it's like in life. The season for where you should be at is delayed. Your time is running ahead of your season. So like, what do you do in that situation where you should be somewhere further on than you are right now? That's what I want to talk about today. And I want to give you some examples of what happened. In Daniel chapter 10, there's a great example. Verse number 2, it says, in those Daniels, I had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food or meat or wine did enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. Now, he is fasting for, if you look back in Daniel chapter 9, he's actually fasting and praying for the nation of Israel. Because God told them under Ezekiel's prophethood that because of the disobedience of the nation of Israel, that they would be taken into captivity 70 years. But now Daniel is realizing, he's saying these 70 years have gone, but there's no sign of our return back as a nation into Israel. And he's saying, so I sought the Lord with prayer and fasting, etc., etc. So this is one of the 3 week fasts that he's on for that particular purpose. And look what happens in verse number 12. An angel appears to Daniel in Daniel 10, verse 12. And he says this. He says, then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel. For from the first day that you set on your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words. Next verse. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. In other words, God is saying this to him through the angel. He said, the moment you prayed, the moment you set your heart to pray in, I released an angel from heaven. But that angel took 21 days to get to you. Right? There was a season. Think about this. There's a season. Daniel knows that they should be in that season. Because the time has moved ahead of the season. And the times and the seasons should go together. He changes the times and the seasons. Listen to me, my brother and sister. Any time that you are running ahead, that time is running ahead of your season, you need to be in a season of prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting brings the times and the seasons together. That's what happens. That's what God is doing. That is a major, major answer to a lot of situations that I'll never forget. There was one season in my life. Hey, mommy. Wow. I thought that I would be married by the age of 27. And my year ticked over to 28. I thought, wow, you know, like, where is she? How am I, you know, I'm believing God for a wife, but she has to manifest in the natural. You ever felt that way? Tell me, have you seen her? Boom, 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 boom. Tell me, have you seen, you know, it's like, where is she? She's got her. Don't you feel that? Anyone ever felt that way about their spouse? Just put your hand up right now and just say, thank you, Lord. Yeah, because they, you see, this is the thing. Your time is running one direction, but it seems like your season is static. Right. If you know that that's your season, don't settle for it. Do not settle for it. Fight, war, pray, fast. Jesus said it this way. He said, when you pray, when you fast, when you give. So all of those three things should be operational in your life for the achievement of everything that God's got for you. He has left those three commands for us as a body for a reason. A lot of people, you know, like, huh. As for prayer, don't worry. Shikabahaya. Hallelujah to Jesus forever. As for giving, oh yes, hallelujah. I'm a giver. As for fasting, it lasts as long as the first KFC. Because your flesh nature wars against your spirit. I used to go without food all day, no problem. The very minute you set your heart on fasting, you walk in the kitchen, the granola is singing to you, Weetabix is opening his mouth. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wow. And by 9:30 in the morning, there's saliva coming down the side of you. Like, oh, God, Jesus, help me. Oh, Lord. Oh, wow. And then the devil. The devil. Because you'll forget whatever. Sometimes you'll go in the kitchen and then you'll see something there. You'll eat it and you think, oh, gosh, I'm supposed to be fasting. Oh, well, I may as well eat. Anyone been there? See, you have to push your flesh nature into submission. Paul the Apostle put it this way. He said, I put my body under. Literally, that's what it is in the Greek. I put my body. He doesn't even say under submission. I put it under. Body, physical body, you are going to drown under my commandments. Jesus' mighty name. You are going to come under submission. And now with fasting, you can train your body. You remember the psalmist David, he says, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. There's a point in prayer and fasting that your very flesh, that very nature that usually wars against the spirit, come under such a level of submission that your very flesh starts to cry out for the living God. Hallelujah. Supernatural sustenance in the realm of the spirit. It's a key to great things. It really is. You can train, and you have to train your physical body. To get where God wants you to be, you can't let your body go wild. You think about the way that the natural has been ordained, where you have like 3 square meals a day. And it's like that's you know, your flesh starts to say, oh, it's 1:30, you haven't eaten yet, feed me, I'll eat anything, popcorn, anything, you name it, anything at all, Snicker bar, anything. Do you see what I'm saying? And then, you see, if you don't put your body under, what else happens is that your body then starts to dictate to you what it wants to eat. I need sugar, sugar, sugar is what I need. I mean, you know, anyone ever been there? Oh my gosh. It's a process. It's a tough process putting your body under. And you can tell very, very clearly from what Daniel says that he has been raised in a life of fasting. Because do you remember that we call it a Daniel fast? Do you remember when they first went into the king's service and they were ordered to eat the king's produce, and they said, no, listen, please, we want to eat vegetables only for 21 days, etc. And it's amazing what God did through them as a result. The Bible said they were 10 times greater than their peers. And so there's you can tell that this thing of prayer and fasting and angelic encounters just followed Daniel's life and followed Daniel's ministry. And it's a major, major, major key to success. Sometimes you'll go into seasons of fasting. Other times you'll just have it as a thing that you do like weekly or whatever. I always encourage anyone who's in ministry at fast at least 1 or 2 days a week, at least, because of what you'll encounter, the kind of opposition that you'll encounter in the realm of the spirit. It's very necessary. It's very necessary. So anyway, I was in this season where I knew it was the season for me to meet the woman that God had got ready for me and that I was supposed to be married, etc., etc. But where is she? I can't see her in the natural. So I started telling my friend, I started saying, right, okay, guys, you know, pray for me. Like, I know this is my season to find my wife and to get married. So please keep that in your prayers. God used to show me intercessors. I'd be praying for people. And God would show me, oh, wow, they have a certain intercessory anointing on their lives. So I would tell them, I'd say, you know, pray that my wife comes along. I know it's the season for my wife, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, 28 ticked over. And then I think it was, I was 20, the end of my 28th year, somewhere like that, that I met Joey. And she was, now get this, right? This is God. This is what I love about God. Because when you break through in that thing, I told so many people that even God got fed up with me. That's no word of a lie. I was coming home from, I was in Killeen in Texas, ministering in a church there. And we had just finished our program, and Kenneth Hagin Sr. Was ministering in the military-based church there. And we said, well, we'll go along. So we went along. Dad Hagin called out the ministers, laid hands on me. It was a powerful time. And in the car on the way home, the couple who were driving me were a couple called Mike and Janie Brown. And they were in the front seats. I was in the back. I'll never forget it. And they said, thank you so much, Pastor Paul, for the program that you've done for us, etc. Is there anything that we can pray for you? And I said, yeah. I said, pray that my wife hurries up and manifests. And literally, I heard the Spirit of God. He said, all right, I've heard you. That was God. He said, all right, I've heard you. Anyway, that was the end of September, about the 29th of September, 1994. November the 5th, 1994, I'm at a dinner party. We're sending Dugbe to Albania. Jesus, help us. And he was going over there to plant a missionary station and, you know, an orphanage and all sorts of stuff like that. And we were at this goodbye dinner for Peter, praying for him. And Joe was there. God supernaturally, literally, was telling me, he said, this, she's going to be your wife. You're going to love her, you're going to take care of her, etc. And I said, wow. I said, well, Lord, if that's you, because a lot of people then go off on this, like, God's told me you're my wife. What sort of, anyway, Jesus. May God put some reality into Christians. Because it might not be God's voice. It might be Satan himself putting you together with Jezebel. You regret it for the rest of your life. Do you see what I'm saying? And so anyway, I said, Lord, I said, wow, praise God. I said, Father, if that's you, Lord, I receive it in Jesus' mighty name, and we'll see where it goes. Because I don't know what manner of woman she is. Do you see what I mean? You have to like, work the thing, you know? Anyway, so, we got, within 6 weeks, we were engaged, and by the following August, we were married. So it was a fast situation, because we both, you know, after a couple of weeks, we knew that this was the right person, right? But suddenly, this is the point I'm making, the Kairos caught up with the Kronos, right? Through the intercessory prayers of people and my prayer and fasting as well, because I wasn't going to let this one go. There's certain things you've got to be, when you know it's your season, you've got to get tenacious about it. You've got to fight the devil for it. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. So there's a fight that you've got to fight to get the things that God has promised you. You can't say, oh, well, whatever the Lord. No, that's the wrong religion. We don't do that one. That's Insha, somebody or other. Do you see what I'm saying? Right. So this was my fight. Now, get this for God, right? A couple of weeks after we started dating and like meeting up for coffee, etc., I invited her to a program that this guy Mike Brown, who'd been in, I was in Texas with, was coming over to London doing a program in a church down in Earl's Court. So anyway, I'm sitting on the front row and Joe is there, right? Now this is like 10, 12 days into our relationship. Mike Brown starts taking the mic and from the pulpit and starts saying, "Oh yeah, you must have been the one we were praying for in the car coming back from Kenneth Hagin." And of course, Joey back then, you know, she's like really pretentious, middle class kind of English, you know. She's sitting there just like, "Lord, get me out of here," you know, like, "Where's the rapture button?" You know? And God intervened. He said, "Be quiet." He said, "Paul's been waiting a long time." Hallelujah to Jesus. That's all you need. When God testifies, that's that. Do you understand? So now God's testimony is on her, and she's like, She didn't expect to hear from God what he had said. And yet it was as plain as day. What was that? That was the Kairos catching up with the Kronos. May every season in your life bloom properly in Jesus' mighty name. Look at this. You see, there is opposition. This is the point. You see, sometimes when your season hasn't come in, it's because there's an opposition to it. I, Daniel, knew the season for my people, namely 70 years for the deliverance of my people, Israel, from the hands of the Babylonians was coming, but there was nothing in the natural. So I set my heart on praying and fasting and seeking the face of my God. And that's when all the angelic stuff happened. And that's where this 21-day interference came from. Look at Jeremiah chapter 42. Interesting situation. Jeremiah 42, verse number 1. And what I'm going to do, Emmanuel, is I'm going to run through the story real fast. So just for the sake of time. Verse number 1 of Jeremiah 42. It says, "Then all the commanders of the forces, Johanan, the son of Kerah, Jezniah, the son of Hoshai, all the people, both the small and the great, approached and said to Jeremiah the prophet, 'Please let our petition come before you. Pray to us to the Lord your God. This is for all the remnant, because we are left but a few out of many, as your own eyes now see us.'" Verse 3, "That the Lord God may tell us the way that we should walk and the thing which we should do." Now, here was the backstory. These people were left in Judah. They hadn't been carried away into this Babylonian exile, and they didn't know what to do. Do we stay? Do we go to Babylon? Do we go to Egypt, Syria? Do we run? What are we going to do? And so they asked Jeremiah to pray for them, right? Then verse 4, it says, "Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, 'I have heard you. Behold, I am going to pray to the Lord in accordance with your words and will come about with the whole message that the Lord will answer. I will tell you, I will not keep back a word from you.'" Now, verse number 7. "Now it came about at the end of 10 days, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah." Now, the upshot of it is that they were told, don't go to Egypt. Don't go into Babylon. Stay where you are. Stay where you are. It doesn't look right in the natural, but stay where you are. They ended up going to Egypt and ended up getting slaughtered. But the point I'm making here is that it took, what was it? What was the delay? 10 days delay from Jeremiah seeking the face of God on behalf of these people to the word of the Lord coming to Jeremiah. So there's another delay in the realm of the Spirit. There will often be, if what you're doing is strategic, if what you're doing matters, then chances are the devil will fight you in the realm of the Spirit for it. And if you know in your spirit that it's the season for something to happen, you know that this should be the season that I'm in now. My time says that it should be the season. If that's the case for you, then you've got to push in and fight. You can't just let it say, oh, whatever will be, will be. Que sera, sera. You can't, in godly things, concerning the kingdom of heaven. You remember Jesus said, pray this way. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, why should we pray that? Because it's not necessarily so. We have to understand that there's a fight to bring God's will for our lives into the natural, that we can birth this thing and run with it. And that's a fight. That's the fight of faith. That's the fight of faith. You see, we trust in God. That's the person. But we fight the fight of faith. That's the promise. So faith is about a promise. Trust is about the person who gave us the promise. And sometimes in that time and season thing, we've got to know exactly where we're at. Does that make sense? Yes. Hallelujah. Did you learn something out of that? Good. Praise God. Stand to your feet. We're going to thank God for his word. And I want us to pray. If you have a feeling that the season you should be in is being delayed, then I want us to just use this little time of prayer as a point of contact. If this word can sit in your heart and you can act on it and you can get into a prayer, a fasting, a spiritual warfare program for your life to bring these times and seasons to pass, then it will be a great, great help for you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord God, we thank you that you are the one who changes the times and the seasons. But Father, where there's delay, where the enemy of our souls has tried to cause any kind of delay, Father, we break that delay in the mighty name of Jesus. By your mighty hand and by your outstretched arm, the same God who delivered his people Israel from the sword, who delivered them from captivity, that same God, Father, we call upon your name today. We thank you, Lord God, that you change the times and the seasons. Father, over nations, over peoples, over individuals, over families, over financial situations, over marital situations, over family situations, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, we command the times and the seasons to align. We command the times and seasons to align in this nation, Heavenly Father. We command the things that should be to be in the mighty name of Jesus. Let every wall of opposition be broken. Father, every heart, Lord God, that knows the season it should be in, but yet isn't. Lord God, I pray that you would speak to them by your Holy Spirit and enable them, Lord God, to be the orchestrators of their own breakthrough. Father, I thank you that you are the God of the breakthrough. Thank you, Lord, that you love us too much to leave us the way we are, that you are God and there is no other. We give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' mighty name.